Oh my gosh, I'm adopting a puppy right now. But I realize what's at home. Oh no, I have nothing. Well, except unconditional love. But yeah, no crate, no pee-pee pads, no dental chews for his little puppy teeth. Before I doubt myself as a new parent, I just get Instacart to deliver everything from PetSmart. Easy, just like raising a puppy is gonna be, right? Get Pet Essentials from PetSmart with Instacart. Visit Instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Greetings, conversationalists. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here across the United States of America. The phone number is 877-973-7425, should you wish to be on the program. I understand we live in an age where nobody trusts anybody. Institutions have destroyed their credibility. And so everybody believes conspiracy theories. It has become a growing phenomenon around the world that people try to explain things through conspiracy theory for a lot of reasons. One is they've got to imagine that something very simple must actually be very complex. And other times it's because something actually is very complex and they want to reduce the understanding. And in both cases, they land on conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy. And nowadays, of course, we use conspiracy, the word the left, like the left uses racist. Everything is racist if you disagree with the left. Same way, everything is a conspiracy. No, you use common sense, and your common sense dictates this. But then oftentimes people confuse common sense for conspiracy too. What is it? Is it Robert Heinlein? I can't remember now, but it's never confuse incompetence for maliciousness. And it's true. So often, people would sleep better at night. In fact, here's a great quote for you. It is my own quote. Men will sleep better at night believing bad men are in charge with a plan than that no one is in charge because they're incompetent. Every single one of you listening right now would rather believe that there are bad people in charge who have sinister plans than to appreciate and understand the reason your mail is not running on time and the reason a shooter could wind up on the roof of a building and nearly kill a president is because we are governed by morons. Our bureaucratic leadership are morons. I've mentioned this before, and it's worth mentioning again. Some business schools think it's legitimate. Harvard has studied it, and there's some legitimacy to it. When I worked for a law firm, worked for a great guy, his name was Ed Sell, and our law firm at the time, we did not like to work with businesses into the third generation. We tended to not work with them or would help the family sell the business because third generation family-run businesses tend to be run into the ground. The reason is because the grandfathers worked very hard to build the business. The fathers maintained the business because they remembered the hard times when their dad was running the business. And the grandson doesn't have any memory of any of the hard times or any of the work put into growing the business. All the grandson has ever known is the business and promptly runs the business into the ground, assuming that because it's always been there, it always will be. There's no memory of a time that it was not. We are in the third generation of our bureaucracy after World War II. The first generation knew that our bureaucracy needed, having gone through World War II, to be perpetuated and strengthened. The second generation understood the trust earned by the first generation. And the third generation of our bureaucratic overlords has decided, well, by God, we're inevitable and we're infallible because we always have been. And the result has been that our bureaucracy has gotten arrogant and out of touch. Thus, it explains the Secret Service. Before I can move on, however, there is breaking news I have to get to. The U.S. Federal Reserve has held interest rates in place. They have not cut interest rates. Now, the thinking in the markets was that interest rates would not get cut, but that they would begin to signal a potential rate cut in the future. The Federal Reserve statements are coming out as I speak. It does sound like they might be signaling for an interest rate cut coming up at some point in the very near future. We have to dissect the Fed statement that's coming. The Federal Reserve statement thus far notes, quote, the committee judges that the risks to achieving its employment and inflation goals continue to move into better balance, which is a slight upgrade from previous language. Inflation has eased over the past year but remained somewhat elevated in recent months. There has been further progress towards the committee's 2% inflation objective. The language represents an upgrade from the June meeting where the policy statement only indicated modest progress. So there you have it. The committee does not expect it will be appropriate to reduce the target range until it has gained greater confidence that inflation is moving sustainably towards 2%. So that's what's happening. The Federal Reserve maintaining interest rates where they have been. There is no cut. Markets are interpreting this as a good sign that there may be interest rate cuts coming in September. That's happening right now. Breaking news. Now, back to the Secret Service. I got to play you an extended exchange, and I need you to hear the extended exchange. I know sometimes people are like, Erickson, why are you playing something this long? Because this is the new acting director of the Secret Service, and he's talking to Gary Peters, who is a front runner to be Kamala Harris's vice president. He presides over the committee in the Senate. You need to hear the anger in the voice of the Secret Service acting director.
Director Rowe, in your testimony here today, as well as in your written testimony, you said very, very clearly that you can't defend why that building with the shooter on top of it was not better covered. You were very clear. You cannot defend that. So my question to you is, my understanding is that there's a detailed site survey that is done prior to an event to identify potential threat points. So talk to me about that site survey. I'm sure you've had a chance to look at it now after action. And how did that site survey get approved when it was so clear that that was a major threat from that building?
Thank you, Senator. So our Pittsburgh field office did the advance. During that advance, not only were they discussing amongst themselves about mitigating the line of sight, but also they were discussing with other agencies that were supporting it. Our counter snipers met with their counterparts. The team lead and team lead met. They walked the site. They identified the AGR building. And if I may, Senator, if I could point out something right now, if I may, and we will place this for the record, but this is the point of view.
He's holding up a
This is from the second floor of the AGR building. This point of view is the point of view where the counter sniper team locally was posted. The gold arrow indicates where the shooter fired from. Looking left, why was the assailant not seen? When we were told that building was going to be covered, that there had been a face-to-face that afternoon, that our team leads met, this was the view. Let me show you another view, Senator. B. This view is a reenactment by one of my agents. Laying flat. There is a 5-inch rise on the middle of that roof. The assailant would have had to present his bore over that to get his shot off. The view underneath reflects the perspective that he would have had. Again, I call your attention back to the first exhibit if they'd have looked left. Give me C.
So let me just pause and say these views he's showing is there was a two-story building out of which they were looking at that building. And had they turned their head to the left, what he's pointing out from the second picture is there is no way for them to have missed the shooter on the roof had they looked left. Now they're putting up another picture.
This is what our counter-sniper team saw. Shooter, no elbows. You barely make out the crown of his head. Below it, the assailant up prone. And let me just tell you, our counter-sniper, this individual, I know him. I consider him a friend. He has covered me operationally in conflict zones. And when I did my time on the president's detail, he exemplifies the courage, the skill, and the ability to respond under great stress in such short time to neutralize the threat and prevent further loss of life. Getting back to your question, Senator, these were discussions that were had between the Pittsburgh field office, the local counterparts, and everyone supporting that visit that day. And that's why when I laid in that position, I could not, and I will not, and I cannot understand why there was not better coverage, or at least somebody looking at that roof line when that's where they were posted.
That's Ronald Rowe. He's the now acting director of Secret Service. Contrast him and the rage in his voice with the prior politically appointed director. And he's right. And his visual demonstration that he laid in the spot where the shooter was, and you could see him. And the Secret Service agents never bothered to look left out the window. And we have a greater sense now of why they didn't look left. Because they thought the local police were there. And the local police thought the state police were there. And the state police thought the Secret Service was there. And the Secret Service thought the local police was there. And nobody bothered to verify with each other what the situation was. It was gross incompetence. This is Josh Hawley's exchange.
As the person who decided, who made the decision to send Donald Trump on the stage knowing that you had a security situation, has that person been relieved of duty?
No, sir, they haven't.
Has the person who decided not to pull the former president off of stage when you knew that, in your words, the locals were working a serious security situation, has that person been relieved of duty?
No, sir. Again, I refer you back to my original answer that we are investigating this through a mission assurance. And as opposed to zeroing in on one,
what more do you need to investigate to know
exactly what?
What more do you need to investigate to know that there were critical enough failures that some individuals ought to be held accountable? I mean, what more do you need to know?
What I need to know is exactly what happened, and I need my investigators to do their job. And I cannot.
A lot of people didn't do their
job. I cannot put my thumb on the scale. Otherwise,
what do you mean? Put your thumb on the scale.
The objective. You're asking me, Senator, to completely make a rush to judgment about somebody failing. I acknowledge this was a failure of the
Secret
Service.
Is it not prima facie that somebody has failed? A former president was shot.
Sir,
I, being charitable to the Secret Service guy who is now there because the idiot in charge got fired and he's got to do cleanup, he's trying to figure out who needs to be fired, and he's not ready yet to decide who needs to be fired. And my suspicion is it's probably a friend of his who's going to have to be fired. Someone will be the fall guy for this. But Josh Hawley, kudos to him for pushing on this issue. It is, y'all, remarkable that something like this happened. And some of you will say maybe they did look left and they liked what they saw, so they turned a blind eye. And I realize there will be those of you who think that. But I think it's far more likely we are governed by idiots, incompetence, and people too arrogant to show the humility to understand they need to do a better job. And I hear the rage in that man's voice over what happened, and how it makes his agency look. And I suspect there will be a number of people fired by the Secret Service when they get to the point where they've made the determination of who actually is to blame. Right now, they're still in the blame game with state and local police in Pennsylvania. That's not going to cut it. Someone's going to have to lose their job, and not just the director of the Secret Service who's already out.
Well connected and well respected. It's Eric Erickson live every weekday. You can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. I am delighted to have you with me, my fellow Americans. I want to go to Steve next. Steve, welcome to the show. How are you? Steve? Hello, Steve.
Hello.
Hi there. I can hear you. What's going on?
Okay. So this is about Kamala Harris' chances that you spoke with an earlier caller about.
Mm-hmm.
So if when she did so poorly, she was running against Democrats. And so it didn't matter that much that she did so poorly and bombed out right away, because another equally leftist replacement would take over for her. So, you know, the media didn't really care that much. But now she's running up against Donald Trump, a Republican. And so now the media will be all in for her. And just to give you an example of how bad it is, and I know you know, but to the listeners, I tried to do a search on leftist projection of their crimes or their wrongdoing onto conservatives and Republicans. And we all know that's a thing that really happens all the time, starting with Clinton. Well, not starting with her, but Clinton and that cadre saying that it was Trump that was colluding with the Russians, when it was quite the opposite. But anyway, when you look for that, you get nothing. You get only projection of right onto left. So that will be a big factor, I think, and in why Harris may do better than what we want her to do, because she will not be exposed any more than Biden's infirmities were exposed. She will be covered up over and over again by the leftists and the communists, as you mentioned, who have invaded and infiltrated the big media.
Oh, absolutely. They're going to do everything they possibly can to protect Kamala Harris. And, you know, the Republicans still have a remarkable chance of winning this thing, because when Donald Trump says anything, it makes news. And whether it's social media, people posting on Facebook, or even an ad campaign, it's very, very hard at this point for the Democrats to do anything with the media to shut him down. Now, I got to tell you about Old Glory Bank, because they would love to be your bank. I told you about my it makes me happy that someone's figured this out. I don't need a physical bank location, but I have a problem with an online bank that I can't deposit cash with. And Old Glory Bank has figured it out, and they've done such a marvelous job with it. If you go to oldglorybank.com today, you can set up an account. It takes less than 8 minutes. You can get a no-fee checking, no-fee savings account. You do it for yourself or your kid, and they have an easy way to deposit cash. I've done it now like 5 or 6 times, where you generate a QR code, take it to a local. They've got 88,000 locations around the country. Mine's the CVS by my house. They scan the QR code. I give them my cash. It gets deposited in my account. I couldn't do that with my old online bank that I had, but I can with Old Glory Bank. They're highly innovative. They're run by conservatives for conservatives. They want your business. OldGloryBank.com. OldGloryBank.com. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Terms and conditions apply.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Hello there. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. I sure hope you're doing well. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Oh my goodness, really? Sorry, my boss Ken just sent me a note about Mark Spain. He's gonna. I like Mark Spain. I'm so happy to be working with him. Okay. In any event, all right. I gotta move on. He's a good dude, by the way, Mark Spain. Okay, gotta move on. I got it. This is happening, and this is kind of wild. Donald Trump is speaking with black journalists, and holy moly, was it hostile out of the gate. Brought to us by my friends at Newsbusters, who got this is the opening. Oh,
I want to start by addressing the elephant in the room, sir. A lot of people did not think it was appropriate for you to be here today. You have pushed false claims about some of your rivals, from Nikki Haley to former President Barack Obama, saying that they were not born in the United States, which is not true. You have told four congresswomen of color who were American citizens to go back to where they came from. You have used words like animal and rabid to describe black district attorneys. You've attacked black journalists, calling them a loser, saying the questions that they ask are, quote, stupid and racist. You've had dinner with a white supremacist at your Mar-a-Lago resort. So my question, sir, now that you are asking black supporters to vote for you, why should black voters trust you after you have used language like that?
Well, first of all, I don't think I've ever been asked a question so in such a horrible manner, a first question. You don't even say, hello, how are you? Are you with ABC? Because I think they're a fake news network.
That is Rachel Scott, the senior congressional correspondent for ABC News, who started that. And then there's a little more that Brian Stelter put up from Trump's opening. Oh, everybody's watching this clip now, so it wants to freeze on Twitter. Here we go.
And I was told my opponent, whether it was Biden or Kamala, I was told my opponent was going to be here. It turned out my opponent isn't here. You invited me under false pretense. And then you said, you can't do it with Zoom. Well, you know, where's Zoom? She's going to do it with Zoom, and she's not coming. And then you were half an hour late. Just so we understand, I have too much respect for you to be late. They couldn't get their equipment working or something
Mr.
was
President,
wrong.
Mr. President, I would love
I think
you
it's-
Look! Look, he's willing to go. He's willing to go, and Rachel Scott started off eviscerating him in front of the crowd. Some didn't even think you should be here. By the way, this is really the level of arrogance here, that he's talking to a group of black journalists. Some of us didn't think you should even be allowed to speak here. And he is right, by the way, the whole false pretense thing. They told him that his opponent would be there, and they're willing to accommodate Kamala Harris with a Zoom call, and they wouldn't allow him to do the same thing. It really is just kind of remarkable that this is it. But what's notable is that he went. He didn't back out. He went. And that, honestly, I think matters greatly, that Donald Trump is willing to go to a hostile audience like this. He's willing to engage with a hostile audience. He's not going to get favorably treated. Let's just be honest here. You know, and I know going into this, that there's no way he's going to get treated favorably, given the leadership of this organization. And yet he was still willing to go. He's still willing to speak to them. And maybe he can find some common ground with them. I don't know if he can or not. But he's willing to attempt. And I think that speaks very highly of him for being willing to go into the lion's den there and have them try to tear him apart, particularly with that opening question. And as he said, there was no hello, no thank you for being here, none of that. It was just straight, cold, hard question. Now, to the phones, Wilson in Palm Coast, Florida, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Yourself?
Great.
So I have a question regarding the last segment you put in, where you had the Secret Service acting director saying that state police didn't know that that the local PD had this area. I hate to say that, but that I don't believe that. I'm a retired state trooper. I've done 12 years taking care of governors and the governor's security detail. When we sit down with the advance party for POTUS when he shows up. We overlap each other. We know exactly what we're doing before the event, the day of the event, and afterwards. There's no way that just the Secret Service is at fault. The state police is at fault, and so is the local PD. They each have their own command center. They each have their own advanced person, their liaison. They're talking to each other what section of that area they're covering, and they normally overlaps for that same reason. Because just in case if I miss something, the local guy may pick it up or the Fed will pick it up. So for him to say, you know, that, yeah, Secret Service is going to get fired, same thing applies for the state police and the local PD. They're all in the same mix. It was a unified command. That means everybody had their finger in the pot. Everyone's at fault because everyone at that command can simply pick up the radio, make the announcement that there's something wrong, and it'll be dealt with. That didn't occur. I'm pretty sure they're all on the same radio frequency, so I don't know why that communication wasn't even brought up.
Well, and you know, so there's a report out. In fact, I'm glad you called in on this. So here is a report. This is from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Just as a Beaver County SWAT sniper was finishing his shift at the Butler County Trump rally, he spotted the man who later turned out to be the 20-year-old gunman 2 hours before he took aim. He texts the sniper still in the building. He knows you guys are up there. He's sitting to the direct right of the picnic table 50 yards from the exit. Roger that, came a reply, but then he still had 100 minutes to go. Now, here's what we know, Wilson, to your point, is based on what we already know, the local police said they would cover the building. And I do have to say, part of me suspects that what we're hearing is some professional courtesy from the new acting director of the Secret Service. While they're still trying to figure out what went wrong, they don't want to throw local police under the bus yet. But local police, based on the press reports, and this is subject to change, I do need to say that, but based on the press reports we have right now, the local police agreed to cover that building. And they went to the roof of the building and decided it was too hot that they could cover the building downstairs. The problem is they didn't cover the building from all sides, and the guy was able to get up there. Some were inside the building and based, again, subject to change, early press reports, assumed they would hear someone walking on the roof if someone got up there. There are a whole lot of cooks in this kitchen. Now, this is not me justifying it. This is me explaining it because there is no justification for it. Any of you in business or even with a family, when you're planning a family vacation, understands when you have too many cooks in the kitchen, eventually, with all those cooks in the kitchen planning your family vacation, you show up at Disney World with the whole family in tow and suddenly realize no one made the hotel reservation. I use this as an example because this did not happen to my family, but I know the family. I've got a friend of mine who is a preacher in an extended family, and it was a mass group of people, and they were all collaborating together, and everyone got a role in the planning instead of having one person do everything, and they showed up at Disney World, and they had tickets to get into the park, but nobody had actually made the hotel reservation. They thankfully were able to get a hotel reservation. It's Orlando. There were hotels, but yeah, that happened. Too many cooks in the kitchen. In this situation, you had the local police, the state police, the Secret Service, and some Homeland Security operatives all trying to work together. And it sounds like there was a mass communication breakdown. From my vantage point, and I'm not an expert, but I talk to the experts, and I do know how this stuff works, having dealt with the Secret Service on multiple events, including the current one I'm working on, that there are lines of command and chains of command and chains of communication and lines of communication and proper procedures. And it all broke down. It's not maliciousness. People want to believe it's maliciousness. They would rather sleep well at night thinking it's maliciousness than to realize how incompetent it is. What's remarkable to me is that this is the first near successful assassination attempt on a presidential candidate, let alone former president, since Ronald Reagan in 1981. And I honestly wonder if there are going to be more people inspired to try to do something because of this level of incompetence. It's just remarkable to me that that's the situation. It really is remarkable to me, this situation. So All that being said, I got to tell y'all I don't know that I should. Y'all know me. I can tell you the story on. So my son showed, I go to CrossFit, and my 15-year-old son showed up on Monday, and he wanted to work out. Now, he had come until the summer. He was coming after school until tennis started it, but he hadn't come all summer. I've been trying to get him to go, and he showed up on Monday. And so Steven, the trainer, and I are like, Gunner, why? What's the sudden interest in coming to the gym? And he kind of looks at us. He says, so I read a profile of the kid who tried to kill President Trump. And he apparently lived in his parents' house and played computer games all the time. Rail thin, not a bit of muscle on him. And I thought, I don't want to wind up like that kid. God bless him. Because all he's done this summer is he's played video games. He doesn't really work out. He never eats. And now it's like, I don't want to wind up like that kid. Good for you. Socialize yourself and don't go down rabbit holes. From what we're learning about the shooter, he was not a partisan. He was not a partisan. It would be nice in a way. I shouldn't say nice. That's not the right word. It would probably be a little easier to understand. I'll put it that way. It would be easier to understand. It would be a tidy understanding that this kid was fueled by the rhetoric of the left against Donald Trump being a threat to democracy. And that may still be the case. But it's looking more and more what we know about this kid so far, that he was a deeply disturbed individual looking for fame. There are allegations he might have actually been pro-Biden and also deeply anti-Semitic and anti-immigrant. Conflicting views, crazy people have those. But crazy people get platforms, and other crazy people can be emboldened by the crazy people. And I honestly, in all seriousness, it's one reason I really do think you should redouble efforts. Pray for the president, pray for the vice president, pray for Donald Trump. Pray for all of them and for their safety in particular, because there are crazy people out there across the board, and they're not ideological, they're just insane, and they want a moment of fame. And it would be deeply destabilizing to this country if a crazy person were able to successfully kill Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, Donald Trump. It would be deeply destabilizing, and none of us should want that. We should want our leaders safe and protected, even as we disagree with them. We should want to be able to go vote against them, not have someone take them out because that person is insane. So pray for your leaders, as the good Bible says. Now, I got to move on to other stuff. I want to talk to you about classical education and Hillsdale College, because Hillsdale College is funding a classical education program around the country. It's donor-driven. My kids are in a classical education school, and I can tell you, my daughter, who's now headed off to college, has done summer programs at Georgia Tech. And she was the kid who had to stand up and make the presentations for the other kids, because the other kids went to fantastically wealthy schools with far more computer and tech options than my kid's school. But my kid had a classical education and was able to stand up and debate and argue and speak and use logic and reason and make persuasive points. She knew public speaking. She knew how to answer questions from professors and answer them in an articulate way. And she did it all because she had a classical education. Hillsdale College is funding classical education at the elementary and secondary level around the country, and they then apply that into their curriculum at their college, which is a great college where nobody gets a federal loan. You either work or you get a scholarship or both. They require on a huge donor base to make all of this happen, and they would love for you to consider supporting them. Partner with them to advance the minds of the future at ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com. Hillsdale College is a great conservative education institution. It's a model college for a lot of conservatives, but it's got a model classical program now that is available for elementary and secondary schools in public and private arenas and homeschoolers, but they need your help to expand it. It's been embraced by Louisiana, by Texas, by Florida, by a number of states, and spreading, but they need your help. ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K, a great nonprofit. Your donation is tax deductible at ericforhillsdale.com.
You can follow Eric around on social media at EW Erickson on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And check him out at EWErickson.com.
Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. Delighted to have you with me here at the end. Speaking of the Secret Service hearing, Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana finally helped dispel something. This was his exchange with the acting Secret Service director.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Abate, am I saying your name right?
Yes, Senator. Thank you.
You are the deputy director of the FBI. Is that correct?
Yes, Senator.
Is there any doubt in your mind or in the collective mind of the FBI that President Trump was shot in the ear by a bullet fired by the assassin Crooks?
Senator, there is absolutely no doubt in the FBI's mind former President Trump was hit with with a bullet and wounded in the ear. No doubt there never has been.
Okay.
I've been part of this investigation since the very beginning, and that has never been raised.
You're sure?
Yes.
It wasn't a space laser?
No.
It wasn't a murder hornet?
Absolutely not.
It wasn't Sasquatch?
No, Senator.
It was a bullet?
It was a bullet, Senator.
100%. Fired by Crooks?
Yes, sir.
That hit President Trump in the ear and almost killed him?
100%, Senator.
Okay. Glad we cleared that up.
Good for Senator. It's been wild to me that the left in this country, including people on MSNBC and New York Times readers, wanted to suggest that Donald Trump had been hit by something other than a bullet. It would have meant still someone attempted to assassinate him, and yet they wanted to try to minimize him taking a bullet. And what's wild is that this is the last day of July, and arguably the assassination attempt on Donald Trump isn't the biggest story of the month. The Democrats ditching Biden for Harris might actually trump that story, no pun intended. And yet a former president who's now a major party candidate for president was nearly killed within half inch of having his brains blown out live on television. It's still one of the most remarkable things to me is on MSNBC, they're saying he's a traitor and a criminal and all these things as Crooks is firing on Donald Trump. It's going to be remarkable if Crooks turns out to have not been fueled by the rhetoric of the left. And I suspect we're going to find out he was based on some of the news trickling out. I don't know. I mean, it is possible. Like Jared Lochner, you know, the left immediately pounced and said, oh, it was conservatives. It was Sarah Palin to blame. And it turned out just to be crazy. Turned out just to be crazy. It is possible he was just crazy. But the rhetoric from the left on Trump has been so unhinged. What's really notable to me, it is, actually is kind of a weird pivot. The Democrats became emotionally invested in the talking point that Donald Trump was a threat to democracy. I mean, that was their whole theme, was he's a threat to democracy. And all of a sudden they've pivoted to, hey, he's just weird. It's as if they didn't actually mean it. And yet they very nearly probably got him almost killed with that shrill rhetoric that he was a threat to democracy, as opposed to at the time saying he was just weird. Just bizarre. All right, folks, we're out of time. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day.
Oh my gosh, I'm adopting a puppy right now, but I realize what's at home.
Oh no, I have nothing. Well, except unconditional love. But yeah, no crate, no pee-pee pads, no dental chews for his little puppy teeth. Before I doubt myself as a new parent, I just get Instacart to deliver everything from PetSmart. Easy, just like raising a puppy is going to be, right? Get Pet Essentials from PetSmart with Instacart. Visit Instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.